Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 25, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how serious is the 2019-20 coronavirus? The coronavirus is a major historical event that is changing the face of human society around the world. One minuscule particle surfaced that has already infected over 1 million people, caused dozens of thousands of deaths, and moreover, put spokes in the wheels of civilization. Within weeks, our lifestyle of shopping, cafes, restaurants, bars, clubs, travel, sports, culture, churches, synagogues, mosques, and in short, any public gatherings, came to a sudden halt. The coronavirus physically isolated people across continents to the same stay-at-home conditions, with the mere ability to leave home for life's essentials. With the rat race we were running coming to a standstill, the coronavirus has shown us an example of how when we leave the environment alone, it rejuvenates and improves. For instance, the notoriously polluted air of urban China, and the water in Venice's canals, after a relatively short period of lockdown, cleared up. The seriousness of such events should lead us to few conclusions. The fact that a tiny and barely visible virus has caused so much death, illness and socio-economic change shows how small and weak we are in nature's presence. The way we were living our egoistic, consumeristic and materialistic lives was detrimental to the environment and to ourselves, and when we live according to mere essentials, nature quickly rejuvenates. While forced into social distancing conditions, we should ideally revise the way we have been living our lives. When revising our life's course, we would be wise to ask ourselves how we reached the state we entered, look into where we are headed, and also, whether we can impact a positive change moving forward. How did we reach a state where we were polluting the world so much, causing so much harm to the environment and to ourselves? It stemmed from a fundamental opposition between human nature and nature in general. Human nature is self-centered egoism. It aims to self-benefit at others' expense, and when unabated, it leads us to a struggle for power and control. On the contrary, nature's quality is interconnectedness and interdependence. When left undisturbed by the egoistic human interference, nature guides all of its parts to harmony and balance. After the explosion of the Chernobyl nuclear reactor in 1986, releasing 10 times more radiation than the amount in Hiroshima, scientists estimated that the area would be uninhabitable for the next 20,000 years. However, a decade later, a blossoming nature reserve emerged from the nuclear ruin, with trees restoring themselves, and a variety of animal species re-emerging, reptiles, poultry and various mammal species, some of which had not lived in the area for many years before the disaster. Nature continuously develops its diverse and interdependent parts to a state of balance. Since the egoistic human nature is opposite to nature's unifying tendency, we lack the intuition to maintain balance with the rest of nature. However, we have been granted the ability to become aware of our opposition to nature. We can learn through such blows as the coronavirus pandemic that by letting our lives run on an opposite egoistic course to nature, we end up suffering. Also, unlike animals, we have the additional mental capacity to ask about the source of our pain, and reach the conclusion that our opposition to nature is the root of our troubles. We would then consciously and willingly undergo a transformation to balance ourselves with nature. Unlike nature's inanimate, vegetative and animate levels, which function instinctively in balance with the integral nature, we humans, devoid of this instinct, have the ability to prioritize our own social values that shape the social influence and public opinion that affects the way we all think and direct ourselves. If we therefore organize social values according to nature's value, mutual consideration and responsibility in order to realize nature's interconnectedness and interdependence harmoniously in our connections, then we would supplement what we instinctively lack through our own conscious and willful participation in nature. Therefore, The seriousness of the coronavirus crisis, while disastrous in many respects, also offers us an opportunity to upgrade human consciousness and the quality of life in society. How? By activating mutual consideration and responsibility in our connections. If we fail to revise ourselves in order to become more considerate and responsible for each other, then we can expect nature to place us in even stricter conditions until we realize the need to positively connect. How, then, can we undergo this shift of consciousness in practice? On one hand, governments would need to provide basic income, food, housing and health care, in exchange for our participating in educational programs where we would learn why and how to implement the principle of mutual consideration and responsibility in our lives. On the other hand, by prioritizing values of mutual consideration and responsibility, we would aim to promote ideas and examples of the kind of positive connection human society needs throughout our media, which currently sends us a barrage of divisive messaging. With mutual consideration and responsibility becoming society's guiding principle, the media would address the problem of how our divisive drives negatively impact and weaken human society, and that the way to a more conscious and stronger society is by becoming better connected. By coupling a more unifying media discourse with a connection-enriching educational agenda, we would learn how to accept, understand and get along with everyone, becoming influenced by a new atmosphere of mutual understanding, support, awareness and sensitivity. As a result, nature would have no further need to send us pandemics or other crises in order to wake us up to our need to positively connect. In the same vein, we would experience a whole new kind of harmonious and peaceful life, where we live in balance with nature. The formula for strengthening the immune system. Question: what is the human immune system from the point of view of Kabbalah and what is its role? Why, according to scientists, can only the immune system defeat the virus? Do you personally do something to boost your immune system? Answer: only good thoughts can boost the immune system. When you care about the entire humanity rather than yourself, you develop immunity against all viruses. Question: where does this formula come from? Answer: from Kabbalah. From Kab TV's The Coronavirus is Changing the Reality, March 26, 2020. What does that virus reveal? Question: the actor and musician R.K.D. Duckin spoke on YAK television and said, "We actors were remote, at a huge distance. Now, if we get closer than 2 meters, something new will happen, new music, new art will appear, we will feel some kind of breakthrough in life." Why does the upper force of nature get turned on and give a new impulse that people have begun to talk about now, about feeling the difference depending on distance? Answer: the coronavirus reveals to us how we are treating each other. You do not love each other? Do not come close, otherwise you will feel bad. This is a manifestation of our egoism in a sharper form. The word virus comes from the word avra, that is, a violation of the good connection between people. This is what a virus is. I hope that people will begin to understand how to restore our connection, and then the virus will turn into something good. There is nothing evil in the world, it all depends on the way we apply it. It is similar to, let us say, atomic or any other energy that has its pros and cons, which, in principle, are equivalent in their possibilities of being applied. When we correct ourselves to the extent that this virus turns into a positive property, we will see that with its help we can become so close to each other and that a feeling of the upper world will arise between us, meaning the next state in which we can already exist outside the body. In principle, this is the hint the virus gives us. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 22, 2020. Know when to take a hint. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, April 25, 2020. The world is an integral whole, and humanity will come to realize it whether or not we are willing to acknowledge it. The coronavirus is helping us see that we are all in one boat. Yesterday, we were in a God-eat-dog mode. Today we are all dependent on our neighbor's goodwill, because if they don't keep their distance, I might catch the bug. The coronavirus is our common enemy, and we have to be considerate in order to defeat it. But the virus isn't our real enemy, it's a byproduct of an enemy we have inside, who is so sophisticated that we don't even know he is our enemy. Our own ego struggles each day to prove to us that we are better and more entitled than others. But it does the same to everyone else, setting us off against each other in an endless war that no one wins, and everyone loses: we, humanity, and the world. Only if we act in unison we will be able to beat it, through our common resolve and determination to change ourselves. When the virus made us change our behavior and shelter in place, it proved that when circumstances require, we can unite. COVID-19 demonstrated that we can act as one and change even our own nature, if we only choose to do it. The world is an integral whole, and humanity will realize it, but it is our choice to take the hint that nature has given us, or wait for a more painful indication. Discovering the field of the Creator. Question: the word creator confuses me very much. Is he some elderly man or something else? Answer: why should he be elderly? Maybe he is young and handsome. Seriously though, let's agree here that there is a higher force in the universe, which includes absolutely all of nature and everything that happens beneath it. This higher force is called the Creator. It has nothing to do with our world, with our bodies, and with our image. It is only a force. Imagine an electric or magnetic force or a field. The same thing happens here. A field that includes absolutely everything within it is called the Creator, because it creates, makes, and acts. We need to open this field. We are in it, but do not feel its effect on us. Therefore, I must somehow change myself so that I can feel it. What needs to be done? It is said that if you create a group in which you become closer to your friends, then in this action of bestowal you will begin to feel closer to this field or further away from it. This is very similar to the interaction of electric charges in a magnetic field. This is the principle of its unraveling. Conclusion: we need a group so with its help we can discover the field of the Creator. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 16, 2020. Hands stained with egoism. Question: how can we explain, from the point of view of the connection of spiritual roots with material branches, why the main remedy against the coronavirus is washing hands? Answer: the virus manifests itself in our weakest point. However, this is not about dirty hands covered with material dirt, but about vessels of reception, which hands symbolize. We get our hands dirty all the time by the fact that we want to grab more for ourselves. Because the coronavirus is transmitted mainly through dirty hands, saliva, and air, it directly affects our organs of reception. From the Kabbalah Lesson for Women, Questions and Answers, April 4, 2020. From Babylon to Rome, Part 5. Ezra and Nehemiah, Restoring the Nation. Question: upon returning to Judea, discord continued to surface among the people. At this time, two spiritual leaders appeared, Ezra and Nehemiah. They took various measures to restore Jewish society, which had already begun to disintegrate, assimilate, and adopt the ethics of their neighbors. Therefore, mixed marriages were banned, instructions were given to abstain from work on the Sabbath, Saturday, and general education of the Torah was introduced, etc. What is this about? Are these external laws somehow connected to the unity of the people? Surely we are talking about more internal things? Answer: it speaks about preserving the people. It was necessary to create a society that would be guided by its principles, not the principles of the surrounding nations. At that time, Jews were surrounded by fairly powerful nations, the Romans, Greeks, Persians, and Egyptians. In our time, these nations and regions fell into relative decline, but then, they were great civilizations that clashed, invaded each other, and competed among themselves. Therefore, the Jews were faced with a problem of how to create a framework for preserving the nation. The institution of kings and Levites, priests, was re-established to train the teachers. This was prior to the construction of the temple. This is how the education of the whole nation began. Children learn the laws by which their ancestors existed back in the time of Abraham and even Adam. Question: were these laws not observed before that? Answer: they were observed, but gradually everything was forgotten, swept away by the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian captivity, etc. It was necessary to restore them again. But the most important thing was the rebirth of closeness between the Jews. If any nation lived on their own were left without any authority, they would still know how to exist. But the Jewish people do not, because the 70 roots of the ancient Babylonian nations that they come from began speaking through them. Therefore, a method of connection between the people had to be introduced. This is what Ezra and Nehemiah were doing. Naturally, everything was no longer in the form that it was during Abraham or Moses, when he led the people through the desert from Egypt to Israel, or Joshua, when entering the land of Israel. Everything was on a different, lower, more simplified level. But still, they taught the people these very laws, literally from the very beginning, since the transmission of spiritual knowledge from generation to generation was disrupted due to Babylonian and Egyptian exiles. Also, the nation that went into exile was no longer holy. There was discourse and fighting among them. They did not want to observe any social rules, even somewhat loving your neighbor. Thus, the exile occurred. Therefore, they had to be educated all over again, which is what Ezra and Nehemiah did. This was a practical resurrection of the nation. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 8, 2019.